Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome in to Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin. Warriors improved to 11-3, stay at first place in the West, beat the Hawks by 23 points last night in San Francisco at Chase Center. Held the Hawks to 33% from the field, and I believe the Hawks were the ninth highest scoring team in the league up until this point. So a good defensive effort. I know the Hawks didn't really show up to play in this one and shot poorly from the beginning, sort of gave up in the middle, but put a little something together once the Warriors got up about 31 points, which seems to be the magic number for them to basically take their foot off the gas pedal, start playing sloppy, start turning the ball over, and, you know, shut it off for 10 minutes, and then hope that they can turn it back on and still have a double-digit lead, which I think the lead got down to like 13 at one point. But Warriors were able to fortunately turn off the faucet and get back on the right side of things. Led early in this one, got up 21 points in that first quarter, 25 at the half. Good first halves from Kuminga and Buddy Hield. I think only 5 turnovers first half, and you notice a much improved effort, especially from, well, we'll excuse Steph because he's Steph, but I think where Draymond can really clean things up and just his whole career, and I know he's ball handling a lot, and, you know, he's making a lot of tough, aggressive backdoor passes. Those I can live with, but he needs to clean up all the unforced errors, the passes that aren't going to lead to a layup. Just, he tends to have like 2 of those a game. You hear a little bit of the audio since Trey was mic'd up, and he was just talking about how Steve Kerr sat him down after last game when I think he had 5 or 6 turnovers against the Clippers, and it was just a huge problem for the team in general. But, you know, Dre acknowledged and appreciated Kerr pulling him aside, going through some of the film, just showing him a couple of places where, hey, let's not force it. Let's just pull it out. You know, live to fight another day. Doesn't have to always be swinging for the fences. And, you know, just make the simple pass, and it's going to lead to a better shot. And Dre basically was heard on the mic saying, hey, I saw on 2 possessions, I was able to back it out and we got good points. And I know those are exactly the type of plays that Steve Kerr was talking about. And I appreciate Kerr doing that. So one of the most redeeming qualities of Draymond, you know, the casual non-Warriors fan is always just going to look at his antics and the punches, the headlocks, and so on and so forth. But Dre, you know, he's not it seems like he's an ego guy, and at times it may, you know, it can be, but, you know, he's very much accountable for himself. He's accountable for his actions. He's a very thoughtful, insightful guy. He just wants to be the best for himself. He wants to bring out the best in his teammates. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the Pajemski segment. But, you know, Dre is a great leader of people in his own way, and it's very much why, you know, coupled with Steph Curry, that the Warriors culture is what it is, and is, you know, has been a dynasty for the last however many years. Also in this one, free throws were better until the very end when Looney missed 3 free throws, and we ultimately finished 12 of 18 from the line. But in time when it mattered, the Warriors were above 75%, and that's the number we're looking for. It's going to be a problem. We talked about it last time where, you know, we're not going to just fix everyone's free throws because it's a roster construction issue, but everyone can be a couple percent better, except for maybe Steph Curry. So free throws are better in this one, and ironically, the Hawks seem to catch the free throw bug. I think they missed like 9 or 10 free throws last night. So a good win for the Warriors. They took care of business. It was nice to not really have to sweat this one out too much, given the pregame news that D'Anthony Melton would be out for this season with I don't even know if they're calling it a torn ACL. I mean, they called it a sprained ACL, which is a tear. So, well, he's out with a torn ACL, need to get surgery. We're going to talk about Melton. We're going to do a big segment on Melton in a bit and just how the Warriors are going to replace that. But before we damper the mood, let's talk about Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins, easily the best player last night. Game ball to Wiggins. Fantastic game. Just Wiggins is starting to put together consecutive and multiple good games in a row, which, even in his best in 2022, you know, you'd still get some up and downs, particularly with scoring. I think every game this season, his defensive effort has just been A+. Sure, the shot doesn't always fall, and, you know, he's had some lower scoring single digit nights, but all in all, it's been much more consistent on the offensive side of the ball. And I attribute that to both him and the Warriors making an effort to put him in better situations to get downhill, to get to the hoop, to get easier buckets than, you know, you don't see as much of the mid-range, just kind of that little crossover at the elbow. And for what it is, he shoots okay from that, but you see that only when the shot clock's running down. Now it's shooting catch and shoot threes in rhythm, or it's attacking the hoop. Ironically, didn't get to the line in this one. He scored 27 points. None came from the line. So yeah, I love to see that even more. And you know, on most nights where he gets to the line four or five times, you can tack on and might have had a 30-point night tonight or last night. So 27 points. The peripherals I love even more. 7 rebounds. He had 4 assists, which is a great number for Wiggs. 12 of 17 from the field, really high percentage, and then 2 blocks. Great rim protection in last night, and even more importantly, great point of attack defense combined with Lindy Waters, who was starting his third consecutive game for Melton, to lock up Trey Young. Trey only 12 points and 4 of 12 shooting. Really wasn't even in this one. Had a couple air balls. Didn't seem too engaged, but you got to credit the Warriors defense, particularly Lindy Waters early and then Wiggins throughout most of the rest of the game, and just an overall team defensive effort. Also, I thought Wiggins was important because when the Warriors did start giving up that 31-point lead and it started trickling into the teens as we enter that fourth quarter, this is the time when you do need that number two type scorer to step up and go get you a bucket or just to create something. It's what the Warriors have been missing. It's what you hope Steph Curry can just do when he comes back in the game, but he's got to take his rest, particularly early in that fourth. And it's like, wow, where's the shot creation going to come from? You know, where are we going to just stop the bleeding? Can someone get to the line? Kuminga wasn't in at that point. How do we get something? Well, Andrew Wiggins comes back in and immediately attacks, kicks to Lindy Waters, and Waters knocks down a 3-pointer, and then Wiggins proceeds to score a couple more buckets, and that's where the game kind of turned back around. So I thought Wiggins, as simple as it was, you know, that was an important time just to turn that game back, and that's what your number two scorer, which we're going to call Wiggins that at this very moment, that's what he's going to do for you and play make and get you some buckets. From a mentality standpoint, I know we've already talked about it a bit, but Wiggins looks as locked in, maybe as ever, as we've seen him maybe since 2022. Obviously, he's got a little bit more, he's at peace, he's a little more clarity. He talked after the game just about how, you know, he's spent a lot more time this offseason just with himself, but just, you know, working out, getting in the gym. I don't know what that entails, but essentially that was his escape and just part of his healing, coping process, just some alone time, some reflection, but also in the gym and just working on himself and making a positive influence both on and off the court. And, you know, I can speak to it, you know, when you lose a parent, you lose a father, it's a life-changing event and everyone handles it differently, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. I'm happy to see that Wiggins has started to channel some of that experience. You know, it's a maturing process. You learn a lot about yourself and your family in these times. And he's using that as a jump off point to just become the best version of himself going forward. And I'm sure his father is very proud of him for the effort he's been putting on, again, on and off the court this year. So great to see it, Wiggs. Keep it up. That being said, you know, we're putting a lot on Wiggins this year on, you know, it's two-way Wiggs very much. You know, you're carrying the offensive load at times. You are carrying the defensive load at all times, especially with the loss of Melton coming up and GP2 not really playing big minutes. You put a lot on Wiggins. So we're just going to hope that at 29 years old, he is in prime peak conditioning. His conditioning looks great. His athleticism looks great. His mentality looks great. Can you stay consistent and can you do this all season long? Because you are one of our horses this year and we're going to have to ride you till the wheels fall off. And hopefully that does not happen until many years down the road. All right. Well, also Curry, a nice quiet 23 points. He was just sitting in the teens until basically he knew he was coming out and hit a couple threes, but only 10 field goal attempts. Played well. Another plus 27. I think he leads the NBA in plus 20 plus minus games this season. Curry was good. He had, Dyson Daniels on him, who's somehow in the defensive player of the year talks, just been all over the place, deflecting this, deflecting that. Curry did a good job and was able to just kind of keep the offense rolling despite not having to do too much of the aggressive pushing and playmaking himself. TJD didn't play a ton of minutes in that first half, but was very affected in limited minutes. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. Continue to say, I think TJD as a passer, playmaker, coming out of that screen and roll, that's what the first unit and the starters are relying on. You know, given the lack of spacing, given kind of the lack of playmaking, they've gone to the TJD, especially against bigger centers, getting him out, getting the defender out from under the hoop, put them in the action. TJD, you see it every time to start the second half. He's getting a lob from Draymond. I think he had, what, 4 or 5 dunks in this and ended up getting to the line a few times. So I thought he played well. And again, as a passer, playmaker, that is what the Warriors need out of that center spot. And Trace, for struggling for the most part this year, has shown good glimpses of the playmaking coming around a bit. So it's hopefully he can start to string together some better performances. And last night was a jump off spot. Draymond also great, 9, 7, and 9. Probably could have pushed for a triple double. Again, just the maturity, just the consistent defensive effort. You know, every time the Warriors get talked about on defense, it all starts and ends with Draymond Green. I think he had a couple of blocks as well. But Draymond, great job leadership, great job. He didn't shoot very well tonight, but I thought he was good on offense. He took care of the ball, made good decisions. And, you know, I think if Draymond continues to play like this, the Warriors have a chance to go very far. In a weird way, the Warriors, as we, you know, if we kind of go back to the beginning of the season and what we expected and needed for the Warriors to have a start like this, everything's just been flipped upside down, right? We said for the Warriors to be a top 5 seed, which was optimistic heading into the season, you know, it's going to have to be the young guys really breaking out. It's going to be Pajemski. It's going to be Kuminga. It's going to be TJD. It's going to be Moody. All of them have just been pretty ho-hum. I mean, I'd say most of them have almost underwhelmed based on what you hope the growth would be. And then you look at the veterans who you think you know what you're going to get out of them. You just hope that they're not going to decline with another year of age. But you look at Steph Curry, who is as good as he's been in, as always. You have Draymond, who's playing one of his best years in the last couple of years. You have Wiggins, who's having a career year. You have Looney, who lost a bunch of weight, looks as spry and young and agile as ever, and is playing great. I think he had 8 rebounds in this one last night and just made a good impact as well. The veterans have come around and Buddy Hield as well, right? You don't expect that much out of Buddy Hield, but hey, sometimes you find good things in unlikely places and you just ride those veterans and they're gonna have career years and you don't expect it, but hey, we will take it. And now if the young guys can just kind of come around and start to mature, start to break out, now we are really cooking and contenders. Kuminga. It seems we always have to do a Kuminga segment in this one because it's the enigma that his minutes, I can't figure it out. I don't know basketball as well as Steve Kerr, but maybe I do, and maybe you all do too. I thought Kuminga played pretty well in this one. I mean, he had 10 points. He was only 3 of 9 from the field, so it's okay. But I thought his decision-making was good. He had 6 rebounds, which has seemed to be the point of contention with Steve Kerr. It's, hey, Kuminga, can you get in there and rebound? Had some good rebounds, had a good offensive rebound with a putback, had 2 assists, could have had another third one, but Buddy Hield missed a 3 in transition. 2 steals, he had a block. The defensive side, I mean, seems like he's been a little bit more active on the defensive side, but he only played 15 minutes in this. And a couple, you know, a minute or two of it was garbage time. He wasn't in that. It's not the closing lineup, but, you know, when the Warriors brought Steph and Draymond back in, you did not see Kuminga with that unit. I don't know, guys. It's, you know, what does he have to do to get in that, in the clutch minute lineups? You know, I think I speak for a lot of us when I say if the Warriors are going to be at their best, they need to figure out a way to unlock Kuminga, have him in, you know, big minute and clutch and high leverage moments. And you have to just rely on that athleticism and you have to hope that he can be a two-way presence. I mean, I guess it's the defense. It's the team defense. Moody's kind of the same. You know, he does a lot of things well, but he's just kind of out of position a lot of the time. But especially, you know, like nights like last night, I thought Kuminga played pretty well defensively and he still didn't really get the minutes. We won the game. That's all that matters. But Kerr talked about, you know, Kuminga just needs to keep on, you know, finding ways to fit the game, just kind of let the game come to him. And I thought he's been doing a good job of it. So I guess my real question is just what lineup does Kuminga need to fit? Obviously, we know Kerr's not going to play him with Draymond at the 4, TJD or Looney at the 5, and Kuminga at the 3. So you're kind of working backwards here, right? So it has to be when either you're going small, when Dre's at the 5, Kuminga can play the 4. I guess, you know, you can play single center with Looney or even Kyle Anderson at that 4, at the 5, and Kuminga stays at the 4. But is there any lineup where you can put Kuminga at the three. I guess until you get a stretch five, the answer is no. The only lineup I could possibly think of is, hey, you have Draymond at the Slo-Mo and Dre at the four and five, whatever order you want to put them. And then you have Kuminga at the three, but I think the spacing's a little messed up. Kyle will shoot the three until he starts making the three a little bit more. I think the spacing will be messed up. But that being said, I said it last time, Kuminga's three-point shooting has not been bad, especially when his feet are set and he's kind of more of a catch-and-shoot off-ball guy. I thought he's been fine, and you might not get the spacing you want, but if you pair them with, you know, Curry and Lindy, Curry and Buddy, maybe you find some lineups that work. I don't know, Curry. You got to find a way to get Kuminga in more, particularly on nights where he seems to be playing well, making the right decisions. So Kuminga's one of those game breakers and just those enigmas and just a different look. And, you know, it's, I think if you're going to really reach, you got to think about the end of the season. And if you're ever going to reach your maximum potential, then you need Kuminga to reach his maximum potential. Okay, time to get to the solemn news, the loss of D'Anthony Melton. Here's the only good news I can think of here is that the Warriors, of their 11 wins, 8 of them have been without Melton. So we've proven that we can beat some teams. The only good win, though, was against Boston without Melton. And, you know, you can argue, especially without Jaylen Brown, that you didn't really need Melton. The Celtics don't have great, they don't have a great point guard in terms of penetration and getting downhill. Wiggins was able to guard Tatum. So you could get by without Melton in that one. But the question is, you know, can the Warriors beat teams with two downhill scorers? You know, we beat the Mavericks. You know, you're talking Luka, where Wiggins is guarding Luka, and Kyrie Irving, where Melton basically shut down and did a great job against Kyrie in that fourth quarter. Can we continue to beat teams like that without Melton? I don't know. Can you beat teams like the Thunder with Jalen Williams and SGA? Yeah, we beat them last time with Melton. Can you beat the Cavs, right? They're two guards, Mitchell and Darius Garland. The Suns, you're going to run into the Suns at some point. When Durant's back, you got Wiggins on him. Hopefully, you'll have a little Draymond on him so Wiggins can guard Booker, but then you have Bradley Beal. You have the Clippers, who the Warriors can't beat anyways, but you know, you have Norman Powell, James Harden. You just need, my point is, the Warriors have been great because they've had a great point of attack defense. Well, you're losing arguably your best point of attack defender in Melton. No offense to Andrew Wiggins, but if we're talking smaller guards, quicker guards, I like Melton there. How can the Warriors make this up? And my next question, which hurts even more, is the loss of Melton hurt the defense or the offense more? You could argue that it hurts our offense the most because you're losing a playmaker, shot creator. You're losing his shooting, where I know Lindy Waters can be in there, but you know, he just does everything Melton does a little bit worse, especially the playmaking. You know, Melton just fit everything so perfectly, and now you've got holes. And, you know, Lindy Waters been okay, but, you know, he's Lindy Waters, and most of us had never even heard of him before this year. So, you know, if he can continue to play how he's playing, then he's an okay replacement. But where are we going to be able to replace the two-way ability of Melton being gone? I mean, internally, if you want to say that losing Melton on defense is the bigger problem, sure, you can put Gary Payton in there and he replaces some of that. You know, he's arguably as good a defender point of attack as Melton, but on the offensive side, you're losing all your spacing. Yeah, I know GP2 can find ways for big buckets or big man buckets, but you know, he played 6 minutes, I think, last night, and they want to keep him under 15. So defensively, you're going to lose a bunch there. I mean, again, we're going to talk about Lindy Waters. He had 10 points last night. Can he be a playmaker? He's fine with the ball. He can kind of get to spaces, but he's not going to ever rack up big assist numbers. He's not quite the playmaker. He doesn't seem to look for kind of a mid-range pull-up, which he needs to just be more aggressive as a scorer. I know Melton wasn't the biggest scorer, but Lindy, if you're going to be in there, you need to be shooting. That's your best attribute. Your point of attack defense has been fine, but we're going to learn a lot about Lindy Waters and if he can hold up defensively. He's got good size, better size than Melton. He's 3 inches taller. I don't know about the wingspan compared to Melton's, but Lindy, we need you to step up, is what I'm saying, because you're the only one that can kind of fit the two-way bill that Melton was providing. So keep it up and keep on going. The one that I think we all would hope would have stepped up is Pajemski. who got whacked on the nose again and was down. And fortunately, x-rays were negative, so it's not another break. But you might see Pajemski go back to that face mask a bit, which he hates. And is, I mean, I don't know if that was affecting his game as much as everything else, but Pajemski has been really struggling. Draymond talked about it a bunch at the end, you know, saying that, hey, Pajemski, like, you don't just keep your head up, right? Like, don't get so down every time you miss a shot or the things you're doing poorly. You can just see he's pressing. This is my words, not Draymond's, but you can just see every time Pajemski misses a shot, turns it over, makes a mistake, he's down on himself, which is a good success, a winning trait in terms of, hey, you're going to want to fix any mistakes and you want to be perfect. You want to be excellent. You want to be great. It's something that, you know, the greats of, you know, Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, you know, they hate more than anything the mistakes that they make, and they're harder on themselves than anybody. So I appreciate the trait, but right now I think it's doing more harm than good. Draymond put a little bit on the Warriors media, so we'll all take a little bit of blame here, just kind of getting on pods and, you know, asking for more from him. Let's just let him come along, let him do, and what we see is what he does well, right? We see the extra possessions he generates. We see the connectivity in his passing and ball handling that he creates. We see the charges he draws. You know, we see all these things that made him one of the best plus minus players in the league and the best plus minus player on the team last year. The scoring will come. We know that that's something he's been working on. The shooting will come. He was a great shooter in college. Kerr has said he's been a great shooter in the offseason and in camp. So we just got to hope and let the game come to Pajemski. And he is the one guy that has enough upside to be a good point of attack defender, despite being undersized. I think his grades this year has been good as a point of attack defender. He can be a secondary playmaker, which is the most important thing, I think, next to Steph with a closing lineup. But can he continue to be that connector, spacer, shooter, scorer? We're going to see that. So between Lindy and Pods, I think that's where we're going to hopefully be able to replace Melton. It's not going to be as good as Melton because Melton was just a better player. Moody, I know we throw a Moody, but Moody hasn't been that impactful, guys. I mean, he's not quite as good a shooter as Lindy. You could say they're about the same, I guess. He can get to the hoop a bit. He's not the best finisher, but at least he's been aggressive attacking. If the shot's not there, he's not holding. He's actually attacking and trying to create. So we like that out of Moody. He's got good length and strength on defense, but man, he just gets caught out of position a lot as an off-ball defender. So Moody has a little ways to go too, but he's one of the options to replace Melton. So externally, right? So we always talk about Warriors trades. It's going to be hard to find a point of attack two-way guard out there without paying or losing Kuminga for everything. The best way to offset a loss of a point of attack defender is to just get more rim protection. So I think the Warriors know they need to get a bigger center just for certain matchups. Your Jokic's of the world, your Embiid's of the world, your Vucevic's of the world. I need someone who can protect the hoop in addition to TJD, or better than TJD does. And that is how you replace some point of attack problems, because now the defense doesn't have to collapse. You know that you have Anthony Davis back there swatting shots. So let's go get Anthony Davis. Just kidding. But really, you need that rim protection, and that will fix a lot of the leaks behind a little bit of a weakened perimeter defense. And then lastly, I said it earlier, you were asking a whole bunch out of Andrew Wiggins now to basically produce and always guard a team's best perimeter player. Who's going to be the second guy? We will see. So again, I'm going to just give a tip of the hat. Andrew Wiggins, we see you. You're doing a lot for us, and we need to ask even more of you with the loss of Melton. All right, that's all I'm going to say about this other than Melton. It's as far as looking at the ACL, it's really unfortunate because, you know, they had to get a lot of second opinions. You can have a partial ACL tear if it's minimal and still power through it. So I've torn three ACLs all just playing flag football a decade ago. I tore 2.5 ACLs. So I've torn my right, my left, and then I partially tore my right one. And a lot of times the surgeon doesn't No, looking just MRI, just diagnosing, feeling it around until you actually get in there. They did a scope to look at my meniscus the last time, found that, hey, oh, your ACL is partially torn. But at that point, he decided that it's not quite torn enough where you're going to have to do surgery. You're going to live with it and it should be able to recover itself. And that's what they were hoping for out of Melton. Obviously, they even just with the scans, with the MRI, they concluded that it was significant enough that they're just going to shut him down, which leads me to believe that it wasn't even close enough to say, hey, let's go in there, take a look at it, have a better idea than an MRI would even show. So it sounds like they made the decision they had to. I hate talking ACLs, but there's my little tidbit is that they were hoping that it was only a partial tear and not surgery deemed worthy. Also, just one more point on Melton is so the Warriors applied for the disabled player exception. So they're going to be able to use half of his salary, which would be $6 million. If they wanted to bring on another player, they could, but they're only $1 million under that first apron. So they're not going to want to go above it anyways. So I think it's going to be rendered useless. The last piece that the Warriors could use Melton for is as salary filler to trade off his 12.8, no, I think it is $1 million in a bigger deal. So say you're packaging him with, I guess we have to just say like a Kuminga, package him with like a Moody. Now you're combining salaries and you can go get a bigger player with Melton's 12.8, Moody's, is he making 12 this year, and then Kuminga or whoever else's deal. So there's a little value there, but I would like to see Melton come back next year and hopefully be who he was this year, but healthier, and he can, you know, fit our team perfectly, like we saw in like three games. All right, guys. Sorry for being a little long-winded on this one. I just gotta get my vent out talking about Melton. Upcoming, we have road back-to-back Friday, Saturday against the Pelicans and the Spurs. I would like to handle both of them. After that, we have the Nets. So between those three games, at least go 2-1. Hopefully, we're winning three in a row because after that, coming up is a tough test against the Thunder, the Suns, and the Nuggets, who I believe should those teams should start getting some players back. I mean, Hartenstein should be back. I don't know about Durant. I don't know about Jokic, who's out with personal leave. But those six games, I would like to go at least 4-2. Go 4-2, and we're sitting at what would that be? 15-5. Is that right? 15-5. That's the goal, and that should still have us in first in the West, and we'll go from there. All right, until next time, I'm Chris Chin. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe. This is a new channel. We're just trying to get the vibes going. So really help me out, guys. Let's keep on stacking. Until next time, peace, love, and stacking dubs.